This is the real weepy and like tragic part of the story beginning, oh my brothers and only friends.
I'm in for four potential getaway drivers. Go.
No!
But I was told that I could listen to the radio at a reasonable volume.
No!
Excuse me, we have a little bit of a hurry.
Hang on, Voltaire.
It's yet another long series of diversions in an attempt to avoid responsibility.
Welcome everyone to a new edition of This Just In. After another week-long absence, once again we failed you, but I have to say I have a legitimate excuse because last week I was absolutely swamped having to finish up my school year and writing 45 fucking pages of essays to complete the year. So I think I've got a valid excuse, but strangely enough, Chris is not with us today because he himself has his own graduate school issues in that he's studying for the GRE, which is one of the biggest bullshit exams you'll ever take, and he's preparing to take that on Friday, so he was going to dedicate tonight to studying. But in his absence, we have, for his second appearance on the show, Rory Finneran, an old friend.
Podcasting from the District of Columbia.
Yeah, the center of it all. The center of the evil empire. Coruscant, if you will, or I forget what the tower in Lord of the Rings was called where Sauron's eye hovered above it. But
yeah, that's two doors down from my apartment.
There's a big flaming red eye. If you haven't been to D.C. lately, you'd notice it. But yeah, so Chris is not going to be in today. He might appear. He said he might make an appearance. I don't know. We'll see.
He might pop by if he gets a chance.
Yeah, but we've got a shitload of topics today for some reason, so I really couldn't, you know, and figuring now that I'm out of school, I've really got no excuse to skip these damn podcasts, so, and plus the amount
That's
of topics,
right.
I've got to deliver. But, you know, really, first of all, I know we've got our list of topics, but there was something I wanted to address. Rory, who are you rooting for in the World Cup?
I am definitely still rooting for the USA, especially after their draw against Italy the other day.
They're still in it, apparently.
They still have a chance. And then after the USA, I would say I'm a pretty big Brazil fan.
So are you basically a fanboy then?
Exactly. I'm on the bandwagon.
The bandwagon that's been going for how many years now?
About 20. It's hard for me because I think I'm a bigger fan of the club teams. And so the guys from the club teams that I really admire, you know, end up on all sorts of different international teams.
Like, yeah.
I really like Pavel Nedved. He ends up on, he plays for Czech Republic.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a really good team. And Netherlands is still in it. I think they are.
Yeah, I believe
but,
so.
But I really like a lot of the players. Ruud van Nistelrooy, Dutchman.
Yeah.
He's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm still rooting for the U.S. just because it would be cool to see them advance further, but
yeah.
I mean, we'll see. And I guess the big problem is if they do advance, aren't they in Brazil's?
Yes.
Yeah, so they're basically done.
Yeah, the first team they play in the quarterfinals will be Brazil, so.
Yeah, they'll just get buried by them. But I would say I'm rooting for the USA and England just because I know most of the players I know are English players, I guess, English club players.
That's true, yeah.
So I'm also rooting for them. And there's a big game tomorrow versus Sweden. And
That's
thank
true.
God, you know, I'm in the Pacific time zone, so a lot of these games are on ass early, but this game's actually on at noon. So I'm pumped up about that. But what I've noticed is, because the field is so big, and I've got such a small TV, it's starting to get excruciating to watch, because I just want one of those big-ass flat panel, like, HD TVs.
Yeah, the World Cup has made me want an HD TV like I've never wanted one before. Because not only is it way more detailed and high resolution, but then you also get the wide aspect ratio, and you can see more of the field.
Yeah, I think soccer really brings into relief the need for HD TV, unlike a lot of American sports. I would say probably the only one that would be sort of equals hockey, where you've got a small puck that you're trying to track. But
yeah, that's true.
Just the field in the World Cup is so huge, and my TV's so small. The players are just tiny. Just
yeah, they have to pan the camera out so far.
Yeah.
The players end up looking like ants.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on to the first official topic. And that was something you had brought to my attention that I'd never heard about before. And that is a mix of both the morbid and the hilarious.
Oh, yeah, it's called mydeathspace.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a play on... Of course, it's a play on myspace.com.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is that it's people that maintained a MySpace profile and unfortunately met an untimely demise. And this site serves as sort of a link to their MySpace profile and also a short description of how they died, their picture from MySpace, and oftentimes a link to a newspaper article as well. So it's sort of like a modern-day digital obituary. But it's interesting because people will go on to MySpace and post comments to their friend and or their brother or sister, whoever it is, and it sort of served as this new modern form of an epitaph or obituary where you have this public, almost a public discussion going on. So it's interesting.
And it's weird seeing, you know, just having navigated this, you know, about a half hour ago for the first time, it's weird seeing the person's MySpace, which you always consider to be an active, current thing, and then realizing that that's like a snapshot, and that they're now dead, and that all that stuff is sort of in the past and stagnant now, whereas usually you just assume MySpace is being constantly updated or something. It brings it into a really weird context.
Yeah, you'll see comments when they were still alive, and then you can sort of find the threshold when it switched over from regular comments to after they died, and it's really...
And isn't it bizarre of all the things for MySpace to transform into? You know, sure, it's the voyeuristic site in itself, but it's become voyeurism of death, whereas all, you know, so many different things could have been done with MySpace profiles, but of all the things, people are interested in taking, like, people who've died on MySpace and then collecting those people. And it seems like, navigating this page, a lot of these deaths are really bizarre. Because
the methods of death.
And you know, I guess it's because they're young, most of these people. So they're not going to die of old age.
Yeah, the top person right now is a girl named Danielle, 17-year-old, that fell off a cliff trying to retrieve her cell phone.
I mean, could there be a more perfect MySpace death?
Yeah.
Like some chick out on a cliff, you know, being emo, and then her phone rings and it falls and she falls with it, you know.
And her boyfriend stood idly by.
It's just unbelievable. This is, and I don't know if on your page you have the same banner, but on the left side of my page, there's a banner of hazard, black and yellow hazard tape on each side, and then a picture of some alien with scary written over it, and it's flashing.
I actually have a picture of a person with a cow's head, and it's an advertisement for Silk soy milk, and it says, enter for your chance to win a spa package.
Two completely different advertisers, both targeting my death space.
Yeah, whatever that demographic is.
Yeah, but I would highly suggest people just take a gander at this, because it is pretty fascinating to see... And I would assume that this is a popular site.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of comments.
I heard about it, but... Yeah. And you find... I've seen more than one person that was killed through what's called the choking game. And I'd never even heard of the choking game. But I guess it's somewhat popular amongst teenagers where they'll intentionally choke themselves just for the rush that you get from the lack of oxygen to the brain.
Yeah, we used to do that in junior high.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you call it the choking game?
No, it's just like a well-known trick on how to make yourself pass out. And we used to be so We used to be so bored in class, we'd make ourselves pass out just for the fun of it, you know. And I'm sure it is highly dangerous.
Well, yeah, I think these people that die, they'll take ropes or a sheet and then they end up passing out, but then the sheet continues to choke them as they're passed out, and I think that's
Yeah, we weren't that stupid. Yeah, we just do it with our hands and with other people present. You know?
It takes it to a whole new level.
When you're doing it alone in your room.
Yeah.
Just drink a beer, dude. Like,
have they not discovered beer yet?
Okay, next topic was one that I wanted to bring up. And this is, I've stolen this off Digg. That's DIGG.com. And somebody posted this thing called FlexYourRights.org. It's sort of an organization that tasks themselves with informing the regular citizen about their rights, which is something I've always been wondering about. The fact that it's almost a conspiracy that here we are granted these rights, and of course they're slowly trying to be taken away from us, and you've always got to be defending them, but there's the fact that we have these rights, but few people know how to exercise them, really. So this site, FlexYourRights.org, is dedicated to sort of explaining, in the simplest of terms, how to go about, you know, exercising your basic rights. And one of the best things they have on there is a busted DVD and some clips from that. And you can see the full DVD on YouTube and whatnot. And it goes over when you get stopped by a cop, what you do if they want to search your car. Now, Rory, were you, like me, always under the impression that, say you get stopped for speeding and they want to search your car, that you are sort of caught in a bind where if you don't consent that they can still search it anyway? Were you under the impression that was the case?
Yeah, I think the way that the information is presented to people from the authorities makes it seem like, well, first of all, it makes it seem like the police are never on your side. I mean, they're supposed to be serving and protecting us.
Yeah.
And they figure out every way they can to trick you or dupe you into giving up your constitutional rights.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, when a cop pulls you over and says, you know, can I search your trunk? Or they'll usually say, you know, is it okay if I take a look in the car? Or I'm going to open your trunk, is it okay?
Yeah.
And they'll try to trick you into giving them consent without you necessarily even realizing that you're waiving your rights.
Yeah, that's the big point that this thing is trying to make, that cops are not there to help you. You know, they're there to bust you, and not only are they there to bust you, but they're there to trick you into sacrificing, you know, your granted rights to aid them in busting you.
Exactly.
And what it comes down to is, when a cop stops you and approaches your car, pretty much what it boils down to is, if they can't see what they're looking for, then they cannot search your car without you allowing them to. Granted, there's some other sort of circumstances, such as if you're arrested and they need to search your body for weapons, or what they call exigent circumstances, where a judge may uphold their search and seizure under very, you know, extreme circumstances. But pretty much in every case, when you get stopped, just tell them no. And that's what they essentially say, is that every time, say, I do not consent to searches, and ask them if you can then go. Because there's nothing wrong with saying that you can't be, that you would rather them not search. You know, there's nothing incriminating about that.
Exactly. There's nothing wrong with standing up for, you know, your constitutional rights.
Yeah, and I think this is incredibly important to, because the thing is, cops, they're such dicks. I mean, when have you ever run into a cop and not thought this guy is a huge dick? And I guess they have to be dicks, because in the sort of position they're in, they're constantly faced with people trying to take advantage of them. But it's just, I've got a big problem with people trying to take advantage of me and trying to sacrifice my rights to get some job done, when I think my rights should be before anything, you know? And it sort of got me angry looking at this video and seeing the various tricks they use to get you to consent.
Yeah, but I think this website's great. And is it affiliated with the ACLU? I know they mentioned,
yeah, because
the ACLU.
I think it's sort of affiliated, because the guy who narrates the video is a former president of the ACLU.
Okay.
I'm just all about figuring that I've been handcuffed, God knows, like 3-4 times, and been in a lot of situations where I felt that I was being pushed around when I didn't need to be pushed around. That I think it's important that we know what we have in our arsenal that we can fight back with.
Right, because I always had the feeling you know, there's libraries full of laws, and whether it be federal, state, or local laws, and the police are constantly out to catch you breaking one of them, mm-hmm. but there's no central source, or there's no good source of information on what these laws are exactly in the details. We have a general idea. We know it's illegal to speed. We know you're not allowed to punch someone in the face. But there's a lot of obscure laws that they love to bust people on that most people don't even know exist.
Yeah. And you know what's funny is I asked my girlfriend about this. I was like, did you know that cops can't search your car pretty much unless they see what they're searching for in their plain view? And she's like, yeah, it's in a Jay-Z song. And I was listening. I can't remember exactly what Jay-Z song it was, but there is a Jay-Z song. I think it's actually 99 Problems, where he's talking about, like, you know, they have some basic white guy voice, and he's talking about, hey, can I search your car? And he's like, no, I know my rights. Like, it's in the trunk. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
He's got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one.
Yeah, so even though, you know, you've got to give Jay-Z credit for fighting for our rights, but the fact that he then uses the term bitch and involves, you know, misogyny within his songs and sexism, that's sort of... And that's the problem with rap.
Bro, what I heard, son, do you know why I'm stopping you for? Cause I'm young and I'm black and my hat's real low. Do I look like a mind reader, sir? I don't know. Am I under arrest or should I guess some more? Well, you was doing 55 in the 54. Uh-huh. Lost the registration and step out of the car. You carrying a weapon on you, I know a lot of you are. I ain't stepping out of shit, all my papers legit. Well, do you mind if I look around the car a little bit? Well, my glove compartment is locked, so it's the trunk in the back. And I know my rights, so you gon' need a warrant for that. Aren't you sharp for tech? You some type of law or something, somebody important or something. I ain't passed the ball, but I know a little bit enough that you wanna legally search my shit. Well, we'll see how smart you are when the K9 comes. I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one.
Craigslist.org. Have you ever used it before?
I have used it. Last summer when I was looking to move to Washington, D.C. from Michigan, I got on there quite a bit to look at the various apartments and roommate possibilities, that's how it got its start, I think, mostly. But I also get great enjoyment at looking at the personal ads now.
I didn't even know they had them.
Looking for, yeah, women seeking men seeking women. Promiscuous, consequence-free sex.
Yes!
It's very strange.
Yeah, I mean, I'd always heard about it. I'd never actually used it. I mean, I would say it's a great service if you're looking to get stuff. Because I think 9 times out of 10 you can trust who's posting things on Craigslist. Because it's sort of, you know, an enlightened community of liberal intellectuals, I guess you'd say. Since it started in San Francisco and that sort of thing. So it's mainly, you know, just for people, you know, in their 20s or whatever, looking for crap to get cheap, that sort of thing. And it seems to work well for that. I finally went and tried to sell something on Craigslist, a couch. And I was amazed when I put the ad up. You know, Craigslist, they have a warning, like, warning about scams, you know, read this information. I was like, well, yeah, whatever. I was amazed after I put up my ad on Craigslist how many scam emails I got from that listing. I would estimate I probably got about 15 to 20 within 3 days of scam emails. And I guess this is a big problem on Craigslist, which I had never realized. And the way it works is that these people approach you, I guess, with just automated scripts that sort of take your listing, put it in an email, and ask you about how they're offshore and they have an associate in the States that will pick up the, you know, like in my case, the couch, and that they're paying with a cashier's check. And I guess people just fraudulently create cashier's checks, and then when you go to cash it, you get busted for it or something like that.
Yeah, well, this sounds frighteningly close to the Nigerian scam, and these might be the same Nigerian people doing this, but yeah. They'll send you a cashier's check for well over the amount that
you're paying. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And ask you to write them a check for the difference.
Oh, okay, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, so you send them a legitimate check, your check, their cashier's check initially seems to go through. I think it takes a week or two.
Oh.
They find out it's not a real check, and then you're out the amount that you've sent them.
Yeah, okay, that explains it. And it's so funny reading over these emails, because they're such obvious scams. But I feel really bad for the people who probably... I mean, there's got to be a lot of people who get nailed by this stuff. A lot.
Yeah. Soccer moms on here buying various lamps.
Because in my situation, I needed this couch sold fast. So I was really excited to get anyone replying. You know, and I guess that excitement can blur your vision when you get an email like this one I got from Danny Mills. And he's like, "My name is Mrs. Danny. I reside in Holland. I'm highly interested in buying your bracket item, end bracket, from you, which costs bracket, and also scan the pictures for me for proper verification, if available. As for the shipping, I have a liable shipper that takes good care of all my shipping. So about payment, I have prepared a certified money order for you. So please email me back if it is still available for sales, so that we can discuss further. Email ASAP. Please reply back. Regards, Mrs. Dan." Oh, I love scam emails. Although the best spam I ever got was a very simple spam email. I don't think I've ever mentioned it on the podcast. I can't remember who it was from, but all it said was, like, you know, in the subject line, "Increase your dick weight."
That one almost got you.
It was the most brilliant way to explain to someone that you wanted to increase their penis size.
You just want to increase the weight of it. I don't want to increase the size. I just want to increase the density.
That would be more of a burden than anything else.
There have been a couple that I've almost fallen for, the eBay or the PayPal.
Yeah,
ones.
Those are good.
They'll make them look perfect and like with a link, and the only way you'll know it's wrong is when you look at the URL that your browser actually goes to.
Yeah, those are really tricky.
Yeah.
And God, you just have to think, how many, if I, you know, a fairly savvy computer person is falling for this, how many people are falling for this stuff?
It's got to be unreal. Thousands.
I know, it's got to be in the thousands.
I guess in the next version of Internet Explorer, Internet Explorer 7, they're going to try to curtail that practice with, I think the color behind the address bar is actually going to change to red to try to warn you about the if it's a spam or if it's a phishing email.
You mean it'll change to red if it's... How would they... If it's different from the link you click on?
I think so, yeah. It'll turn red.
Oh, and just to let everyone know, as I'm doing this podcast, I just got a random IM from somebody named Ebony God, who just asked me if I want to chat.
Chat with him!
Used books. Now, as a graduate student, I'm constantly buying books, and it's gotten to be a huge chore, but I have to praise Amazon.com's used book sort of, I guess you could call it an engine, wherein, you know, you browse to a book in the Amazon interface, and they'll offer the same book through used sellers, who are essentially just other people, and maybe, the best part is a lot of independent booksellers who then offer those used. And 9 times out of 10, I can get a book for like $10 under the price in like new condition. And it has sort of revolutionized my book buying to where I almost don't even ever want to buy new books anymore. And not only that, it's so easy to sell your own books on there at a reasonable price to other people and make your money back. I mean, this is like the dream for every college student who had to get raped by university bookstores. And I know the university I go to, and the department explicitly supports this type of service, and instead of stocking their books at bookstores, are now, you know, saying go to either independent bookstores or go online and buy from independent bookstores. And I think that is just awesome. Because not only am I supporting independent people, but I'm getting books at way cheaper and at great quality. And I don't if anyone who doesn't know about this or doesn't use it should start using it.
Yeah, it was a great resource. When I was in college, I would use not only Amazon, but half.com. I think there was a couple other sites to get used textbooks. And not only used textbooks, but you could also sometimes get the overseas edition, or there'd be a low-priced paperback version where that wasn't officially supposed to be sold in North America, because the publishing company wants to fleece the people that actually have money and force us to buy the hardcover. But so a couple times I was actually able to get the paperback for much, much cheaper.
Yeah, it's the publishing industry is just in dire straits right now. Because I know in the academic world, when you get a book published, they publish it in hardcover because I guess it's cheaper for them. And then they charge just unbelievable amounts of money for academic books now. I mean, if you get a book under $60, you're getting a huge victory. And I'm just sad that good, like, independent bookstores with very specific sort of stock are starting to disappear. And that, you know, the only thing you can go to now is a Barnes & Noble or a Borders, which just gets very generic stuff. And you're never going to have any good finds there. And I think it's great that Amazon is sort of connected with the independent booksellers and is making it very easy for them to, you know, expand their market. I think it's really badass.
Yeah, it's really cool that you can buy a used book for probably a few dollars and then constantly have a cycle going of getting rid of your old books, bringing in new books.
Yeah, it's like a big community share of books almost.
And not just for textbooks, but for any book.
Yeah, I don't get textbooks anymore. I just get regular books, and I just sell regular books now. And it's always, even with paperbacks, it's usually always really cheap. Okay, the last thing I wanted to talk about was, have you seen the preview for the Borat movie?
I have not.
Now, what... Okay, you're familiar with Ali G, right?
Yeah.
Now, what do you think about the proposition of making a movie, a fictional movie about Borat?
Now, refresh my memory. Borat is the...
He's the guy from Kazakhstan that wears the suit.
Okay.
You know, it's like really sexist.
And does he play the role of a journalist?
Yeah. He's like, from Kazakhstan, he's coming over to America to learn about America.
weren't the Kazakhs really pissed off about him?
I don't know. Possibly, and they're going to be even more pissed off about this movie.
Is the trailer on the Apple trailer site?
Oh, where was it? Let me see if it's on IMDb. Yeah, it's on. If you go to IMDb, it'll be on the left side under trailers. I mean, my initial impression would have been like, oh shit, this is going to be terrible. Because, I mean, part of the appeal of Borat is the fact that it's really Sacha Baron Cohen dressed up like Borat duping people. But I don't know, after seeing this trailer, and, I mean, it looks really fucking funny. I mean, really funny. And I'm super excited about it, especially after the Nacho Libre looked like a big flop, I guess.
Yeah, that didn't look that special.
No, and it's a Napoleon Dynamite director and Jack Black. Yeah, the trail is going. What the fuck? Take a wild guess what that was. Goddamn instant messenger.
This Borat movie, now is he walking around talking, like on the street talking to real people?
No, it looks like it's essentially a story of his life.
Okay.
But, I mean, it looks really funny. I mean, at one point, they show him in this bathing suit that is, like, neon yellow and made for women. And it's one of those suits where it covers the lower area and then goes up in a V with two straps that just cover the breasts. But he's wearing it with, like, tennis shoes. I mean, it just looks so awesome. I'm so pumped. I'm so pumped for it.
He's a comic genius.
He is, and... I hope this show... I guess this explains why there hasn't been a new Ali G in a long time. And that probably has a lot to do with the fact people know who he is now.
Right. Almost like Tom Green. He had to start in because everyone else knew who he was.
Has he said that? That's why he sort of...
No, but I think everyone assumed that.
Yeah. I mean, what is up with Tom Green? He's got that sight.
Yeah, he just recently, I think last Thursday, started a live television show from his living room in Los Angeles, broadcast out over the internet through, I think he uses Windows Media Player, And it's supposed to be every Thursday night at 11 Eastern time. He's going to do an hour regular talk show format show, and he's going to try to have guests. And I guess he spent a bunch of money. He partnered with some company called ManiaTV.com. Mm-hmm. And I guess they put $500,000 worth of equipment in his living room, 5 cameras, broadcast quality stuff. Mm-hmm. And he's just sort of winging it, and he doesn't have producers or writers. So it's interesting, because I think it is the first time anyone's tried to do a live podcast, but as far as I know, I think he's the first live version.
I know that DL.TV, I think, does live stuff.
Really?
The first time they broadcast, I think it's live.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it's like a tech show, and it's not an actual, I mean, like David Letterman-style talk show or anything.
Yeah, it's pretty funny to watch Tom, because he's, you know, it's very, very raw, and it's very, you know, they have a lot of stuff to work out, but he doesn't care, and he's just going to, you know, figure stuff out while on the air.
There's just something so exciting about internet TV, and I just worry that, you know, with all the power behind the cable companies and the fact that they rule the bandwidth, you know.
Yeah.
And it's all up to cable companies to provide people the bandwidth to make cool stuff possible, that they'll be able to bury, you know, really progressive sort of entertainment by only allowing certain people access to the really great bandwidth and all that sort of thing. And especially...
Yeah, well, that's what's going on.
Yeah. And especially, you know, say when internet TV is primarily gotten through a set-top box, you know, because right now your on-demand and stuff is delivered through internet cable, essentially. And when internet TV sort of makes its appearance on your set-top box through what's called IPTV, Internet Protocol Television, that what could happen is that the cable companies will then become the filter for content for, you know, the mass amount of Americans that will, instead of getting a high-end computer or something, will just be getting it through their set-top box. So that sort of worries me.
Yeah, I don't think Comcast wants you watching their regular channels and seeing that advertising, not watching your internet TV show and with no commercials.
Yeah, and they want to lead you to believe that they're on your side, that they want to expand your options. But I mean, in all reality, they want you watching what they want you watching, and that's sort of disappointing. But hopefully we'll always be able to get access to stuff just through our computers, at least.
Right. Hopefully net neutrality will win out. And
yeah, because isn't there a big battle right now? I don't know if you've read up on it.
I've read a little bit. I know there's certain powers that be, including the cable companies and most of the telecom companies, that want essentially to double charge. I mean, they're already charging the consumer for our end of the connection, and I think they want to start charging the content provider on the other end.
Mm-hmm.
Also, because they feel like they're not making enough money.
Yeah, and I've also heard proposals for like a high speed lane of the internet.
Yeah,
wherein, you know, all of us would have a sort of low speed, you know, internet, and then there would be a specific fast internet available to certain businesses or people who want to pay an immense premium. And this is going against, you know, what the rest of the world is doing in providing, you know, access to everyone, you know, free and open access to everyone, wireless, at, you know, way faster speeds than we're getting. And if you want to pay for, you know, your own line, it's at a very cheap rate. So it's kind of disturbing what's going on in our country, where, you know, big business is taking advantage of it.
Yeah, it would be completely against what the internet stands for if, say, Comcast wanted to partner with, you know, once maybe they partner with AOL, and then all of a sudden everything through AOL is way faster than AOL's competitor, and then it would totally mess up the way that the mm-hmm. internet economy works.
Because how it is now is that, I mean, there's this big web of servers, you know, and then there's the you know, cables that all the cable companies own. And they're, I guess, they're supposed to be encouraged to share with each other to provide, you know, the best coverage possible. But I think that they're trying to pass bills now where certain companies can say, we own this, and you're not getting access to it. So then it all becomes partitioned, and then you can just charge exponentially for it. And yeah. There's no extra competition. And that's
I think the site
disturbing.
EFF.org, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, I think there's a lot of good articles on that site about the issue.
Yeah, it's real complicated, and it's going on, but I think a lot of people need to get more read up on it, because, we're so behind at this point in speeds and access. It's really disgusting. I think we're 12th in the world or something.
Yeah,
that should not be the case.
In Korea and in places in Scandinavia, you can get 10 megabit. I think in Japan, you can get 40 megabit to your house. And I think as of right now, Comcast standard is, I think, about 4 megabit.
Yeah, 3 to 6, I think, is their range.
Yeah.
And they charge, for less than a quarter of the speed, they're charging like twice what countries are paying. So it's nuts. And it's all going towards the fact that they want to eliminate competition and own sections of the internet and then just rape people with it.
Yeah.
It's really depressing.
And we can't let it happen.
No, because we want shit like Tom Green.
Exactly. We want to be able to watch TV live.
Yeah. Because you need, for this internet TV revolution to take place and for us to be freed from, the advertiser-laden crap content, we need the internet television revolution to take off where anybody can make a show and distribute it, without just getting raped by bandwidth costs or the lack of...
Have you noticed how on ABC and I think most of the network sites, you can actually legitimately watch their shows on their website now?
Yeah, and that's a good move,
Yeah, because I'm sure they knew so many people were downloading them through BitTorrent.
Mm-hmm.
And they figured, well, why don't we just legitimately show it, throw in a couple ads.
Yeah. And that's the best way to do it. What really pisses me off about the direction Ricky Gervais' show went was the fact instead of just including some ads, fulfilling all the payment obligations and stuff, that he's charging for that damn podcast now. And that's just uncalled for, man. Provide us free content where we just watch ads that you're getting paid for anyway.
His subscribership must have just plummeted.
God, I hope so. I really wanted to use this podcast as a platform to speak out against it, but I never really did. And I really feel like more people should have come forward and say that this is a bad turn for podcasting, for what podcasting means. But no one really did. I just hope the consumers were smart enough not to pay for that.
Yeah, $2 for a podcast might not sound like much, but if you're listening to 8 different podcasts and they all want to start charging.
And the fact that, he was on the BBC, there was already, he's got a ton of money. He's on the BBC, which is public broadcasting. It just goes against everything that it stands for. It's public broadcasting. But is he still hosted by the BBC?
I'm not sure.
Isn't that bizarre if he is and people are paying for it?
Yeah, that's strange. Because you don't pay for anything else on the BBC.
No. I never even thought about that. That's very strange. Well, anyway.
Anyways. Hopefully he'll come back to the land of the free.
Oh, he won't.
No.
He'll either just quit or...
Kyle Pilkington. This is a public service monkey news.
It was a great podcast too, but I've not listened to it since it went.
Yeah, it's dead to me.
Yeah, it is dead. All right, that's all we had for today. Peace out.
See you later.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is H to the OV. I used to move snowflakes by the OZ.
You have been listening to This Just In, recorded and distributed on Monday, June 19th, 2006. For more information about this podcast, as well as a literary journal that is coming out this summer, issue 2 of The Means, please visit www.the-means.com. I'd also like to say, Jay-Z, please don't sue me. I'm a fan.
I check cheddar like a food inspector. My homie Strick told me, dude, finish your breakfast. So that's what I'ma do, take you back to the dude with the Lexus. Fast forward the jewels and the necklace. Let me tell you dudes what I do to protect this. Shoot at you actors like movie directors. Say the movie, dogs.
Now, before I finish, let me just say, I did not come here to show out. Did not come here to impress you. Because to tell you the truth, when I leave here, I'm gone. And I don't care what you think about me. But just remember, when it hits the fan, brother, whether it's next year, 10 years, 20 years from now, you'll never be able to say that these brothers lied to you, Jack.
Thing ain't lie. I done came through the block and everything that's fly. I'm like Che Guevara with bling on. I'm complex. I never claim to have wings on. Nigga, I get my by any means on. Whenever there's a drought, get your umbrellas out, because that's when I brainstorm. You can blame Sean, but I ain't inventing the game. I just rolled the dice trying to get some change. And I do it twice, ain't no sense to me lying as if I am a different man. And I could blame my environment, but ain't no reason why I be buying expensive chains. Hope you don't think users are the only abusers. Niggas getting high within the game. If you do, then how would you explain? I'm 10 years removed, still a vibe is in my veins. I got a hustler spirit, nigga, period. Check out my hat, yo, peep the way I wear it. Check out my swag, yo, I walk like a ball player. No matter where you go, you are what you are, player. And you can try to change, but that's just the top layer. Man, you was who you was before you got here. Only God can judge me, so I'm gone. Either love me or leave me alone.